This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
It's a breezy Saturday afternoon in north central Arizona, and I'm sitting next to two that I love.
One has four legs.
Our dog Bandit was feeling neglected or something, and he jumped up on Dee's lap.
And he's still there. I'm going to put him down. Hold on.
All right.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Hi, everyone. Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
We're here for Catholic Vitamin A, the beginning of our ninth round of the alphabet. Vitamin A, and the word is?
Acceptance.
I'm surprised that we didn't have some correct guesses for that.
I am too.
But we're glad that you're with us. We're glad to be doing another show. And our guest, Dee, is?
Sister Marie Suzanne.
She is with the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. And Dee, you were introduced to this order of nuns when you were at the Catholic Women's Conference.
I was, and that reminds me, I want their CD. What did you do with their CD?
I have it over here.
Well, I want to borrow it because I want to download the music and put it in my iPod.
It's just absolutely wonderful, and we're going to play some of it during the show. We're sort of stealing a little bit of thunder from the interview, but they have a great new CD, and we'll give you all the information a little later. So Sister Marie Suzanne is our guest, and we're going to learn about a wonderful order that I've just fallen in love with. It started for both of us at the Catholic men and women's conferences that we attended.
Right.
Sister Gorman, I think, was the name of the sister.
Sister Regina.
Gorman,
yeah.
And we enjoyed meeting her, and then I got a courtesy copy of the album, of which we'll play some music. And then I was able to interview Sister a little bit later in the show. I'll say a few words about their order because, Dee, we were really running this week and I didn't have time to prep and I didn't handle all of the introductions during the interview of Sister Marie Suzanne about her order very well. Why were we so busy this week?
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
But it makes me think, why are we this busy?
Well, because we're...
Can we retire all over again, start all over again?
No. We take Catholic vitamins. We're on fire for the faith. We love the church.
Well, we had a couple long trips up north, one together and one you alone with our pastor. But on Tuesday, we went to a friend's ranch. They had just moved in on this ranch, what, a year and a half ago? And we were invited to come up and...
It was sort of a blessing of the ranch.
Blessing of the ranch. They had invited a whole bunch of people, not just us. But we had a luncheon. There was shooting.
Well, let's start with the holiest thing.
Lots of animals.
What took place?
And a mass, yes.
And we had a beautiful mass led by.
Yeah, they're in the Gallup Diocese. And the Bishop of Gallup, Bishop Wall.
James Wall, his Excellency Bishop Wall was there.
Was there because he's a good friend of theirs. And he actually did a mass there on their porch.
He also, as Dee was suggesting, got behind the shotgun and was shooting skeet. And he was pretty darn good, wasn't he?
He was. He was. If anybody wants to see pictures, go to our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page. I think we posted a few pictures there.
All right. So it was a blessed day, but it was a long day for us because it was a long drive to get there.
Right.
And then we were there for 4 hours or so.
We did not take Bandit with us. We put him in canine camp for the day, although he probably would have had fun. There were a lot of small dogs that they have in their house. He would have loved them.
One of the pictures that we posted someplace was Hillary Jones Rojo carrying her miniature goat. And I can just imagine how Bandit would have acted with that. I'm sure he would have started barking And then they might have wound up chasing each other around and playing together.
I should have looked this up before we started, but Hillary was a guest on our show.
She was.
A long time ago, talking about her ministries, her ministry work, and also a book she wrote.
Yes, she wrote.
Maybe before the end of the show, I can go back and look up and see what episode that was.
We'll try to get the episode and the title of the book, but it was about her travels and some of the holy experiences that they've had in their travels.
So then the next day, I couldn't go with you. I had two medical appointments scheduled that day, but you and our pastor left right after Mass in the morning and drove up, 90 miles north to Winslow?
To Winslow, Arizona. Do you remember the Eagles song, Standing on the Corner? Winslow, Arizona. At any rate, we went there to visit Madonna House.
Right.
It was probably my 20th visit there.
But this was to introduce our pastor to this lay apostolate.
So when we arrived, Kathy McVady, the house director, sat with Father and I, and she led him into an introduction to Catherine Doherty, servant of God Catherine Doherty, and to her husband Eddie Doherty, and talked about the founding of Madonna House, what it came out of, the work that Catherine had done in Harlem and elsewhere to help the poor and the needy. And Father learned a lot, and then he led us in a Mass, which was just beautiful. He celebrated Mass. I was able to be deacon not only for the bishop the day before, but for Father. And then we had a nice lunch with the Madonnas.
Yeah, we always have a nice visit when we go up there. I wish I could have been with you. You said, after you came back, you said that Father was really impressed and told me some of the few good things he was saying about them. And then the next morning after Mass, I was in the sacristy talking with him, and he was pretty much telling me the same things. He loved their singing voices.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah, I do.
He thought they were like angels.
Well, speaking of singing voices, are we ready for our first break?
Yes.
We'll be back.
Rejoice in His love for you. Look to the future with hope. He accepts you as you are. He allows you to grow. He gives you time and space. Opportunity.
Up on Catholic Vitamins, I'm in the company, the presence of His Excellency Bishop Wall from the Diocese of Gallup. This is my first time being with him and able to speak with him a little bit. Bishop, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you very much.
Well, Excellency, we've just completed a beautiful, beautiful Mass out on a covered deck at a ranch. It was just an absolutely beautiful. I couldn't help thinking about the Holy Spirit. The wind was blowing gently. Thank you for leading us in the liturgy of the Mass.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure. It's the greatest thing that we can do as Catholics is to enter into the celebration, the sacrifice of the Mass. So it always is a privilege.
Mm-hmm. So, Excellency, we have a very limited time to share, and sometime I might like to have you back on for a full interview. Tell us about your diocese. How are things in the diocese?
Well, our diocese is a pretty vast diocese. It's in two states, northeast Arizona, northwest New Mexico. And we were established in 1939 by the Venerable Pius XII, primarily to minister to Native American peoples. So we have the highest percentage of Native American peoples in our diocese. And we have seven Native American tribes in our diocese.
My, wow. Yeah.
It's definitely a true blessing. So as you might imagine, when St. Kateri was canonized, finally there was great rejoicing. And one of the things we've seen each year since her canonization at the cathedral at the Rite of Election, the percentage of Native American peoples going up and is going up. Those are coming into the church. So I attribute a lot of that to the intercession of St. Kateri for her people.
Wonderful. I can't let this opportunity go by without asking you to share with us, how are vocations in your diocese?
You know, vocations are on the upswing. On the 24th of May at the Cathedral of Sacred Heart Cathedral in Gallup, I will ordain four men to the diaconate, two to the permanent diaconate and two to the transitional diaconate. And then the following month, on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I will ordain our first diocesan priest in 9 years, and so, which is wonderful. When I arrived in the diocese 5 years ago, we didn't have anyone studying for the priesthood. So Deacon Nathaniel Block will be ordained to be Father Nathaniel Block on the last Saturday of June. So 11 o'clock, Sacred Heart Cathedral. Everyone is invited.
How beautiful. How beautiful. Well, how long have you been in your position now, Bishop?
5 years. So 5 years on April 23rd of this year. It was 5 years.
And this interview that we're doing is a little bit impromptu. I want to say something which will sound a little self-serving, but there's a reason for it. Probably more than 2 years ago, I was given your name to pray for because I know you were struggling with some health issues. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I had thyroid cancer, and they removed my thyroid. They did radioactive iodine treatment following that. And I just a couple of months ago, I had my yearly checkup, and everything was clear. There were no markers for cancer. So
praise God, praise God. You bet. Just a quick story, Excellency, to see if it leads us into another quick topic. I went into a gas station in Payson, Arizona, North Central Arizona, and came out from getting a cup of coffee, and I saw a big van with a number of nuns. They looked like Mother Teresa, and it turns out that they were indeed her order. And I believe they're in Gallup. Can you say anything about them?
We have 10 sisters that serve in our diocese, missionaries of charity. We have six or seven, depending on what time of the year, that serve in the city of Gallup. And then south in Chichilta, we have three or four that serve in Chichilta. Blessed Teresa came to our diocese twice. And so she sent her sisters because, you know, they serve for the poorest of the poor, and we're one of the poorest dioceses in the United States. And so we're also blessed to have the sisters. And there are times when the sisters do ongoing formation or retreats, we can have anywhere from 30 to 40 to 50 missionaries of charity from all over the western part of the United States in our diocese.
Well, I promised you, Excellency, that this would be quick. For those who are listening either on a treadmill or driving the car, or doing the dishes, you don't have to follow with the hand movement, but Excellency, may we have your blessing.
Sure. May the Lord, who is loving and merciful, pour out his Spirit upon you, bless you, and keep you. May he surround you with his angels and his saints in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Excellency.
You're welcome. Thank you. God bless.
It was such a blessing to be in the presence of one of our shepherds of the church. Thank you, Excellency James Wall from the Gallup, New Mexico Diocese. Dear, what else do we have for prattle on this show?
Well, we could remind everybody of the book giveaway that we started a couple weeks ago. That would be Father Peter Kwong Nguyen, his book, All Honor to You.
All right. That's the story of him fleeing from Vietnam and becoming a priest in the Diocese of Denver, the Archdiocese of Denver. And there's a beautiful, beautiful story told there that our listeners would really like. Send your entry in
to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com, and I will add your name to those already in the basket.
Dee, we have vitamin A. Would you like to talk about addicted?
I have a feeling this is leading into the new business in town.
Well, people want to know what it's like for us in our marriage, and some people think it's just absolutely wonderful what we're doing. And I am very blessed, but it's getting expensive to court D. Why is that, D?
Well, for anybody who might be coming through Payson, Arizona, you got to stop at Summit Swirls, the new frozen yogurt place. Opened up by a couple from who moved here from Alaska.
Right.
And opened the business about, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Oh, it is so good.
So they have about, what, eight or ten?
I think they have 8 different flavors all the time.
Right. And you can mix any of the flavors you want, and they have all sorts of toppings.
This is the kind of place where you go in and you just pull the lever and, you know, fill your little cup with whatever, however, you know.
Yes, I do. And you do. But why don't you tell people about our friends with the 7 children?
Oh, my gosh. I mentioned it to her the other day. I saw her in church, and I said, have you discovered the new place in town? She says, oh, yeah. She says, we've been in once. It will probably be the last time they go in, because with 7 kids who don't know how to control their filling of the cup, she says, we'd go bankrupt in no time.
Well, I'm not doing too bad either. I mean, I might have to float alone here. All right.
I try to be sensible when I'm filling my cup, but oh, it is, it's so good. And all those flavors sound so wonderful. You just have to try like 2 or 3 flavors in your cup at one time.
Well, this is vitamin A for
acceptance.
Acceptance.
So will you accept my addiction?
Dear friends, next up, our time with Sister Marie Suzanne of the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. Well, we've arrived at the center part in our show for this week, and as you heard earlier, our vitamin for this week, our faith topic, is acceptance, and we're on the phone with Sister Marie Suzanne, a Carmelite sister from the Los Angeles area, and I ran into this order when I attended the Catholic Men's Conference in Phoenix some several weeks ago and listened to the story of one of the sisters, which was just beautifully told and touched us men. There was one man next to me that was crying when he was listening to the story from the sister who came to speak. And coincidentally, they were releasing a new album that weekend, and we were blessed to get some copies of their music. So we're so anxious to spend time with Sister Marie Suzanne. Sister, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
All right. Well, I want to get into your order in a few moments, but before we do that, let's find out, before you had the name Sister Marie Suzanne, where were you born and what was growing up like for you?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Arcadia, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, and I'm the eldest of 3 children, and grew up going to Catholic grammar school and high schools. And I was taught by the Carmelite Sisters in grammar school. So that was my first introduction to the order that I now belong to, the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. And growing up, just very active in sports and dance and music. My mom had us running around town. We were a family that went to church on Sundays and prayed grace before meals. And so just had a very beautiful upbringing. Both mom and dad were in the healthcare industry and serving, but had a wonderful childhood experience and grew up with family and friends. And so that's kind of how I was very involved in sports. I played all year round sports and was involved in student council. And like I said, I'm the eldest of 3. I have a younger brother and a younger sister. And I will get later on to the story, but I did enter after high school. So kind of just growing up and discerning, and then after I graduated, did enter the Carmelite Sisters. And so just has been a beautiful journey so far and continues to be every day.
Well, the the topic of acceptance, I don't mean to jump into it this quickly, is one which we tend to think of as binary. Before there was a decision, then the decision was made. But for many of us, like I know, like becoming a deacon myself, that it was 4 years of formation and a lot of questions and sometimes concern. How did you come about deciding at least to try entering into the order?
Yes, well, I didn't actually start in my mind actual discernment probably right until high school. But before that, growing up, like I mentioned, I was taught by the sisters, and we would have vocation days, so we'd get exposed to all the vocations in life that one can be called to the priesthood, to religious life, to marriage life, to the single life. So we'd have vocation days, and people would come talk with us, and I loved the sisters. I had them as teachers, principals, enjoyed my time with them, but I never saw myself as one of them or had the desire growing up to want to be like them or be one of them. My heart was set on sciences, and I wanted to go into medicine and serve in that capacity. I was drawn to want to reach out and help people. And so that was kind of from a young age what I really wanted to do, through grammar school and into high school the same way. Now, I was surrounded, like I mentioned before, by a beautiful family and friends. And so I wasn't, you know, trying to run away from them or get out of the house. I had a great upbringing and a beautiful, supportive family. And as I was deciding a career for my life, you know, I saw myself becoming a doctor, getting married, having a family. When I was about in my junior year, I started to visit colleges and eventually apply to colleges. And something deep inside was a little unsettling, and I didn't know what that was. Kind of just felt a little bit anxious or fidgety inside. And I thought, no, just forget it. Just keep going. You've got your roadmap. You know, it's set. Doors are opening. Colleges are ready to accept you. And so in my mind, I was thinking that's what God was wanting of me because it seemed to be happening easily. And so I just kept along that path. But the unrest was still deep within, and I felt like there was something missing. Couldn't put my finger on it. And so as I continued into with schooling in high school, junior, almost into senior year now, I remember stopping and talking to one of the sisters, a Carmelite sister. I did do volunteer work off and on, so I did keep in touch with them. And one of the sisters didn't come up to me and say, you know, you have a vocation, you need to think about being a sister. She taught me how to pray. Really, she taught me how to open up my ears and listen to what God was asking of me instead of myself thinking I knew what he wanted of me. Mm-hmm. I never stopped to ask him. And once I did that, I started to hear his call to give the more and giving my all in religious life.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So you graduated from high school. What happened after that?
So after I graduated, I ended up applying. Well, before I graduated, I applied to enter the convent and went through the process. I had to tell my family at some point. I was nervous to talk to my mom and dad about it and thinking, what are they going to think? But we were sitting down at the dinner table, and after we finished eating, we hadn't gotten up from the table yet, and the whole family was there, and I shared with them, I think I'm being called to be a sister. You know, can I try it out? And my dad was the grace of God. It was beautiful. He said, if that's what's going to make you happy, if that's what you think God's asking you to do, go for it. We'll be supportive of you. And my mom started to cry a little bit, but then eventually, you know, she was okay knowing that if I was happy, she would be happy. So I applied to enter the Carmelite Sisters. I was taught by Dominican sisters in high school, but I didn't spend as much time with them, and I really felt drawn to the spirit of Carmel, that sense of, you know, seeking that union with God, but not keeping it to oneself and spreading it and sharing it with others. And so I had a candidacy program, which is before you enter, spending time living more closely with the sisters, but not in the convent yet. And that was through the summer. And then I entered St. Teresa of Avila, one of the great Carmelite saints, on October the 15th. and then began my initial formation with the sisters as a postulant. And that was for about a year. And then we do a novitiate, which is 2 years, and then make first vows. And after that, there's a period of 6 years, which is called temporary vows. And as you go through that stage, then once you are approved, you can make what's called perpetual vows. And so the whole process takes about 10 years from entrance until you're making your final vows in the community.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we love our sisters for sure. Can you, you did sort of talk about it for just a second. Can you give an overview of the work of your order?
Sure. Our community was founded first in Mexico in the early 1900s by Mother Maria Luisa Josefa. She was born in the 1866 and was actually married. She had an arranged marriage at the time, and when her husband died, he gave his blessing for her to become a sister, which she wanted to do. So she had quite a journey. She spent some time in a Carmelite cloister and then was called out to then help the hospital, which she and her husband ran. So she went back and forth between a cloistered community, which is dedicated solely to prayer, and then an active community. And so eventually our community was born by combining the two, and young women were drawn to her as she was caring for the sick in Mexico. And so part of our care is we do care for the sick. That's one of the apostolates or works of service that we do in the church is health care. She also began schools, so we are very involved in education as well throughout grammar schools and high schools in California and throughout the country. And she always had a dream to begin a retreat house. And so in the 1940s, as we opened a retreat house here in California, it was a place where she wanted men and women to be able to come and rest and listen to God and to rejuvenate and to find Him in the depths of their soul, which is, Carmel means garden, so we see the soul as a garden where God dwells, and that's where we find Him within. He's seeking to be with us and talk to us and get to know us. And so our community finds strength and all of its source in our prayer life, which is really a simple relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the one whom we are totally dedicated to, and through our communion with Him, it is His work that He's able to then do through and in us to spread His word and kingdom to all peoples that come, that we serve, families, residents, retreatants. And that's the beauty of Carmel, that we're here to foster the spiritual life, first in our own souls, but then also in the souls of those that we serve. And it's simple and it's beautiful, and everyone's called to holiness. And Carmel is an example for the church of each one, no matter what walk of life they are in, to be able to find God within, draw strength from Him, and through that loving relationship, carry His name, His love out to others so that His kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven, as in His prayer of the Our Father.
So do you do other work besides caring for the sick?
Besides caring for the sick, our sisters do serve in education. So we are in teaching. We have daycare centers, so 2.5 to 5-year-olds. And then we also help to staff and teach grammar schools and high schools as well. So, in education, we're trying to teach and form the children with the mind and heart of Christ. Healthcare, we're at the service of the family for life. And then the third area that we serve in is our retreat work. So calling others to come and be nourished at the wellsprings of the feet of Jesus and having that quiet time. We specialize in silent retreats, but we also have other various functions throughout the year to draw families together, to draw mothers and daughters together, and also have evangelization centers where we teach on scripture and different topics to help, again, nourish and form the spiritual life in others. So those are the three areas that we currently serve in: the healthcare, education, and retreat work.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a young family in our parish. They have 7 children, God bless them, mm-hmm. and 5 of them are young ladies, young girls, and I would dearly, I know the mom would love this too, I'd love to see them come to visit your retreat location and have all of them there, because the mom would love for them to become sisters, just absolutely love for them to become sisters. They're a little young right now, but it would be so nice.
Vocations begin in the family. That's where, you know, we grow up and are nourished, and those are our roots. And so God uses that family unit to help us to hear and see His voice and follow His call wherever it may be.
Where are the sisters, the Carmelite sisters in your order, located in the country?
So the Carmelite sisters are located mostly in Southern California, but we have a house in Douglas, Arizona, a grammar school that we teach at. We have another house in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, which is just outside of Denver. We teach at a grammar school there. We have two houses in Miami, Florida. We teach at a grammar school and at a high school. And then we also have a house of studies in Steubenville, Ohio, where our sisters attend Franciscan University. So they're serving the community there, but also being educated while they're in Ohio. And then in Southern California, we're located in various cities outside of Los Angeles, in the suburbs of Los Angeles.
God willing, I'll be in Steubenville next month for the Priest Deacon Seminarian Conference. Mm-hmm. It'll be my 10th year in a row. So I'm really looking forward to it. I hope I meet some of your sisters.
I hope so, too. Yes, we have three sisters currently over there right now completing their studies. So I actually went to Franciscan University as well as a sister to get educated as a nurse. And so I currently serve as a nurse right now in our healthcare setting. So.
When we were doing our prep work to get ready for this, and we were talking about Catholic vitamins, you said that would be a good fit with you because you're in healthcare.
It is. I see lots of vitamins every day, literal vitamins.
right. Well, how are vocations, Sister Marie?
Vocations in our community, you know, God is blessing us with beautiful young women that are joining us. We currently have about 6 young women who are in a candidacy program, like I mentioned before, so they're seriously discerning entrance into our community, and the community is also discerning with them if God is calling them to us. And then we have about 10 in our novitiate, which is our early stages of formation, and then we have, I would say, probably another 12 that are in what are called temporary vows. So these sisters have not made final vows, but they are in temporary vows, and they renew their vows annually for 6 years. So, you know, we have a commency later on in this month of May, where we have, I believe, a dozen girls coming to visit and stay with us for a week to discern a possible vocation to our community. So, you know, by just our faithful witness and living of the vocation God's given us, He continues to speak and draw others to join in the labor, because, as we know, the harvest is plenty, and so we continue to pray for vocations to our community, to any religious community, and to the priesthood and diaconate, you know, that all these wonderful vocations can help further spread His kingdom.
Sister Marie Suzanne is with the Carmelite Sisters, OCD, in the greater Los Angeles area and elsewhere, as you've heard. I have what will sound like a sort of an unusual question, but if you hear it out, you'll understand where it comes from. One of the oldest daughters in this family that I was mentioning a few moments ago wanted to know whether the sisters who are going through formation, or even once they are professed, if they have any fun. Do they play games, or do they play sports? what would you say about that?
I would say the young sisters, the middle-aged sisters, and the older sisters all have fun. But for maybe the younger sisters, they might have a little bit more energy, so we've got to make sure they get it out. But we have what's called recreation, which is like family time together. And that is every day that we have that. We gather usually in the evenings, and the sisters can do anything from line dancing to having a kickball game or a soccer game, throwing a frisbee, working on crafts or projects, getting up and doing a spontaneous game of charades. You know, really, I think Pope Francis has recently said, you know, that Jesus or God doesn't want any sour-faced religious. You know, he wants a joyful religious,
right,
you know, not to look like pickles or, you know, all crunched up. And so, you know, how are we to give witness to the wonderful vocation that we have, that God called me to be totally his and given to him in a life of service? Everything I have is a gift. And just to marvel at that, you cannot become sad realizing everything you have is pure gift because of his individual love and particular love for me. And what does it draw for me? A response to want to give everything to him and, you know, express how grateful I am to him for everything I have received. So the sisters know how to have fun. Our mother Sandra said, you need to eat well, sleep well, pray well, recreate well. You know, she's very balanced. And so, you know, it's a great way to have family time. That's like our family time together. And so we have that every day, which is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Good. All right. Well, now, mm-hmm. Sister Marie Suzanne, we were blessed to get a courtesy copy of a new CD. I believe the title is called Into the Wind, correct?
Lean Into the Wind.
Into the Wind, yes. And yes. Maybe if you could take us to the origins of this. How did this idea get started?
Well, the sisters love music. Music is part of our life. We wake up singing. We chant the Psalms in the Divine Office, which is a prayer of the church. Singing is a way to pray twice, as St. Augustine says. Singing speaks words that the soul, you know, can't always communicate, you know, directly. So we've actually made a few CDs prior to this one, and so we've had many blessed sisters with gifts and talents in writing music. So on the CD, Lean Into the Wind, those are all original compositions by our sisters. And so it's an expression of our prayer life in one way, wanting to speak to others, to draw others. Many people, as they've heard us sing or join us for prayers or been at functions, their sisters, make a CD. We love to hear your music. But really, it's not about maybe us personally, but being able to sing the mercies of God, to sing our works to the King. And that's what this is all about, you know, just to be able to, again, another way he's calling us to spread his love, you know, to spread his gifts and blessings to others. And hopefully through the music, anyone who listens to it, they'll be able to be touched, you know, by it, and God's grace can work in their lives wherever they're at, whatever they're experiencing. There's an array of songs on the CD, from Gregorian chant to a few electric guitars and bass players going at it, but just the beauty of what God has given in the gift of music and being able to share that with others. So it's not something brand new for us, but we've done it once or twice before, but this CD is particularly blessed to have all original compositions by our sisters. So that's expressing much of what comes out of their prayer life, you know, and their communication between our Lord to be able to express that in music.
Mm-hmm. One of the tender songs that we played after we got a copy of the CD was Bless Our Priests, O Lord.
I
just love it. Just absolutely love it. And are there any other songs on there either that you participated in or that you'd like to talk about?
Sure. Well, we do the title of the CD, Lean Into the Wind. That is one of the songs also on the CD. And, you know, that wind in scripture, we know St. Elijah heard God in this gentle whisper of the wind, and Carmel's roots go back to Elijah. But also in scripture, we see wind where it can be very fierce on you know, the Sea of Galilee and the boat being tossed about and you know, Peter being called to walk on water in the midst of the wind. So it can be tough as well. So being able to lean into the wind, it's to be able to listen to his voice. You know, we don't always see wind, but we can see the effects of wind. We don't maybe see God directly as I can see, you know, this tree in front of me or the person sitting in front of me, but we see his presence through others. And so being able to listen to that gentle whispering wind of his voice, or to push forward when he's given us a cross, and, you know, we need to keep moving and following him in those tough times as well. So Lean Into the Wind is a beautiful song about that, about life's journey, gentle moments and tough moments, and he's right there in the midst of it. So it's a beautiful song that we have. Rejoice in His Love is another track that we have, and really it's saying rejoice in His love, meaning God's love for you. We want to look to the future with hope because He accepts us as we are. He gives us time. He gives us space to realize His great love for us. He will always be there. And that particular song was actually taken from the prayer that we do twice a day in our daily living of religious life called the Examination of Conscience. So taking time to pause in the middle of the day and see, where has He shown me His love? Where have I missed signs of His love? You know, where is He calling me to spread that experience of His love? So Rejoicing in His Love is a beautiful song. And then we have some fun line dancing songs, if you want to call them. You know, I Will Sing My Works to the King. That's another title of a song, which is beautiful. That's the drums come out on that one, the guitars, and the sisters just go to town on that. But those are words that are inscripted just above our main chapel on one of our campuses called Santa Teresita. It's our healthcare facility. And it says, I will sing my works to the King. And so, again, the gift of music, like anything that happens to the day, making it an offering of praise to the Lord. You know, being able to see it, whether it's something difficult or a gentle blessing. And so it was so much fun to go down to a recording studio outside of Hollywood and record music with professionals. I mean, we are so blessed to have wonderful friends that have these means and equipment to help us out, and to go in there and, sing our works to the King. Sometimes you have to do it over and over again and cut, take that out, put that in. But really just the joy that we had going down, it took over a series of months to complete the CD. Various sisters went down and sang and recorded voices and high parts and low parts. And we had a lot of fun doing it. So I enjoyed it myself, and I was very grateful for the opportunity to participate in it. Mm-hmm.
Sister, give us the website address for the CD, the album itself, and then for your order.
Sure. So the website where you can go on to find out more about our CD, listen to samples and order it, is www.leanintothewind.com. So it has pictures of the sisters recording in the studio, articles written about the music. So I encourage you to go on there. It'll give you an explanation of all the different songs, all the lyrics, and how they came about. So that's where you can find our CD, Lean Into the Wind. And for our order, the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles, that website where you can find all of our information is www.carmeliteSistersOCD.com. And so that'll be able to, it's a very beautiful website. It has our history as a community, the areas that we serve in, upcoming events, and different pictures about, you know, all the different activities we have going on. It's got letters from our mother foundress, which are very beautiful, and she can speak heart to heart with those who read that, and links to wonderful Catholic websites and a blog and Facebook and Twitter. Sisters are up to date on all that stuff, so go on in there.
Awesome.
You know, you can tweet them, you can blog them, you can, it's the world we live in, and as Pope John Paul, you know, he knows that social media was a way to evangelize, and so taking that opportunity, as we are right now, to be able to share with others, what our faith is about, and so we're just very grateful for that, and visit those websites. They're very rich and nourishing for the soul.
Mm-hmm. Our guest on this show has been Sister Marie Suzanne. She's with the Carmelite Sisters of Los Angeles, and I guess the most correct title is the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Is that correct?
Almost. The Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles.
Kind of a long title. Okay,
yes.
All right. Well, Sister, thank you so very much for taking the time to come on our show, and
we will do our best to try to help promote the order and play the music from time to time to inspire people to go to your websites.
Thank you so much. It's been such a blessing to spend time with you and know that we continue to pray for your ministry and witness at Catholic Vitamins. I'm going to recommend that to some of our residents and get them on those type of vitamins. That might help them in more ways than one.
All right. Great, great. Thank you, Sister. Blessings.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
I certainly enjoyed my time, Dee, with Sister, and I love that new album of theirs.
I'm still waiting for it to come in my hand here.
Lean Into the Wind. You can go to their website, and we gave that information during the interview. We'll also post it on our page for this show. Dear.
Where are all our correspondents?
Well, everybody is taking Mother's Day off. Everybody.
I guess that we can allow that.
I took you out for lunch, and I posted a picture of you and the wonderful dessert that you were eating.
The free one.
Yeah. Oh, don't say that. Yeah, right.
He's cheap even on Mother's Day.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Well, even though Fergal's not going to be here, he did send us a little short email last week. It said, "Wonderful to hear Sister Breege on that show. Last time I spoke with her was on the plane from Ireland to Rome for the beatification of now St. John Paul II. Never did I think I would ever share a platform with her, but there you go. Catholic Vitamins works its own miracles."
Amen.
Well done, folks.
And let's just say a word about why Fergal isn't here. The list of things that he's involved in is a deacon.
You should have read that email.
Oh, I know. But he's got baptism after baptism after baptism. He's visiting people in their homes. He's visiting people who are sick.
There was a funeral mentioned.
Yes, someone that...
I was out of breath reading about what he had to do just within like a 2 or 3 day period.
Fergal and I used to exchange emails about what it was like to be a deacon, and he has come up with, oh my heavens. So I hope that Mary is supporting your beautiful ministry and that you're supporting Mary on Mother's Day. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. And you have a great, great family, Fergal.
We had an email from Earl Wilson in Louisiana, who was our winner, our Vita Scrabble winner last time. "Thank you for the lovely gift. It arrived today and in good condition. I think you may be right in not sending the same thing for a little while. A little warmer and there might have been a mess."
We can't say what they are, folks, but...
"I would like to submit my guess for this week's Vita Scrabble. My guess is apostolate."
Well, that's a good guess, but
that
it's very
really
wrong.
Was.
Yeah, it's a good
very
guess.
Very wrong, but very good. "I look forward to hearing what you have for us this week, Earl."
Well, thank you very much for that. We are so glad that you are a listener. And friends, when we come to Vita Scrabble, you take a guess at what the vitamin for the next show is. You send in your guess to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And we put any correct guesses into a basket, and then we pull a winner.
Fair and square, we pull a winner out.
All right. Do we have anything else? I have a long Ask the Deacon question and reply, which I think I'd like to share with our friends as part of acceptance of what it means to be a practicing Catholic.
Well, if you want to do that as the last thing before we go out, why don't I go ahead and do Vita Scrabble now for next time?
Okay. All right.
Next vitamin. vitamin B.
Here we are, at ninth round of the alphabet, going into vitamin B.
Starts with B, ends in M.
This is a slam dunk.
Seven letters.
Okay, all
right. This is so easy.
We'll be back.
Grant them strength.
Dee, will you be patient with me while I read a Ask the Deacon question and a longer reply?
I'm sitting here. I'm not going anywhere.
All right. Hello, I am a 36-year-old woman in a relationship with a man for almost 15 years, and we have two children. We are not married, and in the beginning, this did not bother me, but the last 5 years or so, I have come to recognize the importance of the two of us being married. I am Catholic, and my partner, although baptized, does not consider himself Catholic. We are raising our children Catholic, attending Catholic school, and regularly going to Sunday Mass. My partner does not attend Mass with us or go to church at all unless it's for the celebration of some sacrament, such as baptism. We are both in the same mindset, it is time to get married, because we do see our relationship as a lifelong commitment. My partner sees no difference when it comes to being married and feels it should be okay to go to a justice of the peace or to an ordained minister. I see the merits in this because I would love to get this over and done with and not drag it out. We go to get the marriage license in the morning and we can be married the same day. Then there is the part of me who feels if a Catholic priest does not marry us, it is not as legal. Might not be the correct word. My question, is it possible to quietly get married in the parish office with our priest? No frills, just the two of us and perhaps our children present. I'm very shy in approaching my priest because if he rejects my request, I'm the sort of person who will shrink away and will not want to attend Mass. I know that sounds very childish, but that is how I am. Any feedback would be greatly welcomed. Dear friends,
we may not have had that direct question over and over, but we certainly have witnessed situations like that over and over.
Dear blank, greetings. What a lovely, tender, and open sharing in your email. One of my favorite Sunday hymns is Amazing Grace, and it sounds to me as if God's amazing grace is working in a special way. I'm so glad you recognize this and are willing to consider changes in your life. If we were meeting face-to-face, it would be so much easier to begin to talk of such matters. To condense my reply to an email is a struggle. There are so many areas to get into. In my own life, one of the books I read that had a profound movement of my spirit was St. Augustine's Confessions. In it, he talked about how our hearts are restless until they rest in God. Augustine was a convert to the faith, and he ultimately became a priest and a bishop. But he had been a non-married father, living with a woman, unmarried for many years. He asked the Lord to make him chaste, but not too quickly, not yet. There is a wonderful current book that is perhaps worth mentioning. It's called Rediscover Catholicism, and it's by an Australian, Matthew Kelly. He's also on YouTube, and he's a great speaker and evangelist. The thing about Augustine or Matthew Kelly or Mother Teresa or even great Protestant men and women, they never suggested that religion was a personal matter which could be practiced alone or in any way that people wanted to do it. Christ never taught such a thing. He was in the temple or the synagogue, joining in public worship, and Christ left us apostles and he gave them instructions on forgiveness of sin and making decisions about good and bad things. Apostles appointed bishops who appointed priests, and so on. Christ also sanctified marriage by performing his first miracle at it. And when Jewish officials tried to trick Jesus about divorce, he reminded them of what God's original plan for man and woman was. It's the same today as then, a sacrament, a holy and sanctified union in which graces, and I capitalize the word graces, amazing graces are provided to men and women when they enter into the blessed and holy sacrament according to God's plan. Civil marriage will be recognized by the state, and it is a form of commitment, but it isn't sacramental. Holy graces don't flow in civil marriages between baptized Catholic individuals, and so the idea of treating civil marriage as having the same meaning and same godly blessing is simply not true, and as a matter of fact, it's completely wrong. I would hope you first might find a holy priest or a deacon or a gentle director of religious education or a nun and talk with him or her. Better yet, go to a gentle priest in confession and be honest with him. Lay out what you've shared here and see if he can lead you to the point of completing confession and starting on a path to reconciliation with the Church and a blessed marital union. I promise I will pray for you. I really will. I just met with a young woman of about 40-something late this afternoon, and she is in somewhat a similar situation to what you described. I'll have you both on my heart, and I hope you can find a book or two or a couple good speaker CDs on the Catholic faith. To the extent that I could help by email, I'll be trying. I'm willing to try. But pray for truth in your heart. Pray for wisdom to hear God's voice, and then be willing to follow through. Wow, Dee, that's the longest Ask the Deacon question we've ever had and the longest reply I've ever given. What do you think?
Well, this was an old reply that you had gotten. It was a question that came some time ago. Would love to know how this all turned out.
I know. But, you know, our job is to plant the seeds or to pull the weeds or whatever, and we never know what the outcome is going to be. That's in God's hands. So I hope that woman had her heart moved somewhat by the response. Dear, I think we're ready to wrap up. We don't have, as you said earlier, our correspondents. They're enjoying Mother's Day or doing ministry work in the case of Fergal. And Mariana's with Father V. So I think we should say
bye.
Adios.
From A to Z, Catholic vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.